بسم الله. في الحصص الماضية كنا ذكرنا أقسام الردة، أقسام الكفر والاستثناءات من الكفر اللفظي. In the past sessions we mentioned the types of blasphemy and the exceptions, the cases exempted from from falling into kufr when uttering a blasphemous statement. الآن ننتقل إلى أمر له تعلق بما تقدم، يزيد ما تقدم وضوحا. Now let's move to another paragraph which is related to what we mentioned before and it makes it more clear. عنوان الفقرة قاعدة. The title of this paragraph is a rule. اللفظ الذي له معنيان، أحدهما نوع من أنواع الكفر والآخر ليس كفرا. إذا كان اللفظ كذلك وكان المعنى الذي هو كفر ظاهرا في الكفر لكنه ليس صريحا، نعيد العبارة. إذا كان لفظ من الألفاظ له معنيان، أحدهما كفر والآخر ليس كفرا، وكان هذا اللفظ ظاهرا في الكفر، يعني المعنى الأول الذي يخطر بالبال عند سماعه هو المعنى الكفري الذي هو أكثر استعمالا من المعنيين، هو المعنى الكفري. فإذا كان اللفظ ظاهرا في الكفر لكن ليس صريحا، يعني اللفظ يحتمل معنى آخر أيضا غير المعنى الكفري، معنى ليس كفرا بحسب اللغة له معنى آخر لكن المعنى الكفري هو الظاهر فيه، لا يكفر قائله حتى يعلم أي المعنيين أراد، لو كان المعنى الكفري هو الظاهر. If a statement has two meanings, one of these two meanings is blasphemy, is a blasphemous meaning. The second meaning is not, then, and if the blasphemous meaning is the most used meaning of this statement, and it is the meaning that usually occurs first to the mind that hears this statement, but it is not the only meaning. This statement can bear another meaning according to the language, which is not kufr. Then, if someone says this statement, we do not judge this person to be a blasphemer, except if we know that he or she intends the blasphemous meaning. So So to judge this person, we need to check what was his or her intention while saying this statement. Which meaning did this person intend? مثال ذلك لفظة النبي. An example of that is the term النبي. لها معنيان. It can bear in the Arabic language two meanings. النبي معناه الأرض المحدودبة المرتفعة. النبي can bear the meaning of the uneven land, which is the high land, which is uneven. والنبي بمعنى الإنسان الذي أوحي إليه. The other meaning is the one, the human being who received the revelation. المعنى الذي يخطر بالبال عند سماع الكلمة أول ما يخطر هو معنى الإنسان الذي أوحي إليه. The meaning that occurs first to the mind when you hear the term النبي is the person to whom who got the revelation. وهذا هو الأكثر استعمالا. And this is the meaning which is most used among the people. فإذا قال إنسان أن الصلاة على النبي مكروهة لا نستعجل في الحكم عليه بالكفر إنما نتبين قصده. إذا كان قصده الصلاة على الأرض المحدودبة مكروهة لأن الذي يقف ليصلي على الأرض المحدودبة يخشى أن يقع فينشغل قلبه بذلك عن الخشوع لا يخشع في صلاته. إذا كان هذا مراده لا نكفره. أما إذا كان مراده الصلاة على نبي الله محمد مكروهة هذا كذب القرآن. الله قال صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما فيكفر عند ذلك. So taking in consideration that the term النبي has these two meanings, if someone says الصلاة على النبي مكروهة, according to the Arabic language, this statement can bear two meanings. It can mean saying اللهم صل على محمد is disliked, and it can mean making the prayer on the uneven land is disliked because the person needs to watch himself all the time so he does not fall down. He does not fall down, so fall down. So this is why he cannot feel al-khushu' in his heart. This is why it is disliked. Then this would be okay. In this case, if we hear someone saying this statement, As-salatu ala nabi makruha, we do not rush to judge such a person as a blasphemer. Rather, we check his intention. What did he intend? Did he intend that making the prayer on the uneven land is disliked? Or does he intend that saying As-salatu was-salamu ala al-Nabi is disliked? If he means the first meaning, if he intends the first meaning, then it is not kufr. If he intends the second one, then it is kufr because it is belying the verse of Al-Quran, صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما, and other religious texts. هذا مع أن استعمال لفظ النبي في الرجل الذي أوحي إليه هو الغالب. This is so, although using the term النبي to refer to the one who got the revelation is the most used meaning of this word.
فعبارة الصلاة على النبي مكروهة ظاهرة في الكفر لكنها ليست صريحة فيه.
So saying الصلاة على النبي مكروهة there is a big possibility for it to mean a blasphemous meaning. But this is not an explicit statement of blasphemy. Because it can bear also another meaning which is not blasphemy.
في هذه الحال لا يكفر قائلها حتى يعلم قصده.
In this case, we do not judge the one who says it as a blasphemer. Rather, we check one's intention.
وكذلك لو كان اللفظ له معان كثيرة كلها كفر إلا معنى واحدا.
Likewise, if the term, the statement has many meanings, all these meanings are blasphemous meanings except for one.
لا يكفر قائلها إلا أن يعرف منه أنه أراد المعنى الكفري.
The one who says such a statement is not judged as a blasphemer except if we know, if it is known that this person intended a blasphemous meaning when he said it.
مع أن أغلب معانيها كفر.
Although most of the meanings that it has are blasphemous meanings.
لكن لأن هناك احتمالا أن يكون قصد المعنى الذي ليس كفرا لا يحكم بكفره.
But because there is a possibility that the one who said it did not mean a blasphemous meaning. He meant that meaning which is not blasphemy. This possibility exists. This is so we do not judge such a person as a blasphemer, except if we know that he or she intended the blasphemous meaning.
وهذا هو ما أراده بعض العلماء من الحنفية وغيرهم فيما ذكروه.
And this is what some scholars, Hanafis and others, meant with some of the statements.
بعض الناس ينسبوا إلى علماء الحنفية أنهم قالوا إذا كان في المسألة أقوال كثيرة بالتكفير وقول واحد بترك التكفير نأخذ بترك التكفير. ليس هذا ما قالوه. بل الذي قالوه إذا كانت الكلمة تحتمل معاني كثيرة كلها كفر إلا واحد لا نحكم بالكفر على قائلها إلا أن نعلم أنه أراد معنى كفريا. هذا الذي ذكروه.
Some people claim that the Hanafi scholars said if there are many sayings pertaining a statement that it is blasphemy, and few sayings, one or few, that it is not blasphemy, then one should take the statement which is not a statement that the saying that this is not blasphemy. This is what some people claim that the Hanafis said. And this is not a proper report from the Hanafis. What the Hanafis said is what we mentioned,
if statement, if there is the possibility, if a statement has many meanings that are blasphemous meaning, but it has also one or few meanings that are not blasphemy, then we do not judge the person who says it with blasphemy, except if we know that this person intended the blasphemous meaning when he or she said it. This is what they said. أما أن يقال نأخذ بقول الأقل فهذه قاعدة لا أدري من أين جاءوا بها. As to say, we go by the saying of the fewer. This is a rule that I don't know from where did they come with. في شرعنا أنا أعرف نأخذ بالدليل. In our religion, I know we follow the proof, not the numbers. We follow the proofs. This is what we follow. وفي أنظمة الدول يتبعون في كثير منها الأكثرية, حكم الأكثرية, ما تريده الأكثرية. أما هذه القاعدة نأخذ بقول الأقل, ما أدري من أين جاءوا بها. And in the secular rules, they follow the majority, as you know, in many states and countries. But to say we follow the fewer people or the minority, this is a new rule that I don't know from where did they come up with. على كل حال, الحنفية ما قالوا هذا والمالكية ما قالوا هذا. The Hanafis did not say it, the Malikis did not say it. وأحيانا يقولون قال الإمام أبو حنيفة كذا وكذا, أو قال الإمام مالك كذا وكذا, وهذا كذب. لا أبو حنيفة رضي الله عنه قال, ولا مالك رضي الله عنه قال. And sometimes some people they say الإمام أبو حنيفة himself said that statement, or الإمام مالك himself said it, and this is a lie. Neither أبو حنيفة nor مالك, may Allah raise the ranks, said it. حتى هذه القاعدة الصحيحة إذا كان لللفظ عدة معان منها ما هو كفر أو أغلبها كفر وأقلها ليس كفرا, لا يحكم على قائلها بالكفر إلا إذا قصد معنى كفريا. هذه قاعدة صحيحة ما رويت عن الإمام أبي حنيفة ولا عن مالك رضي الله عنه, إنما ذكرها من علماء الحنفية من ذكرها, ومن علماء المالكية وغيرهم من ذكرها. Even the correct rule that if a statement bears different meanings, most of them are blasphemous meanings except one or two. In this case, if one says this statement, we do not judge him to be a blasphemer except if we know that he meant a blasphemous meaning. This is a correct rule, but Abu Hanifa himself did not say it. He did not utter these words. And Imam Malik himself did not say it. He did not utter these words. Hanafi scholars said that, yes. Maliki scholars said that, yes. Other scholars said it, yes. But not Al-Imam Abu Hanifa himself, and not Malik himself. May Allah raise the ranks. فإذا قال الشخص هذه الكلمة ونسي، حصل عنده تردد بعدما قالها، أنا على أي معنى قلتها؟ على المعنى الكفري أو على المعنى الذي ليس كفرا؟ لو قالها وقصد المعنى الكفري يجب عليه أن يتشهد، لو قالها وقصد المعنى الذي ليس كفرا لا يجب عليه أن يتشهد لأنه لم يكفر. أما إذا قالها وحصل عنده تردد بعدما قالها، أنا على أي معنى قلتها؟ هل قلتها عندما قلتها هل قصدت المعنى الكفري أو لا؟ حصل عنده تردد، هنا يتشهد احتياطا، يعني يتشهد بنية أنه إذا كان أراد المعنى الكفري فهو ينطق بالشهادتين للرجوع إلى الإسلام، لأنه حصل عنده تردد فورا عليه أن يخرج من ذلك. كيف؟ بأن يتشهد احتياطا، يتشهد بنية أنه إن كان حصل منه كفر فهو يتشهد للرجوع إلى الإسلام، هذا يقال له تشهد الاحتياط. أما ما دام جازما بأنه ما قصد معنى كفريا عندما قالها، إنما قصد المعنى الذي هو غير كفر، فلا يجب عليه أن يتشهد للاحتياط ولا أن يفعل ما يتبع ذلك من تجديد النكاح احتياطا وما شابه. Now, if one says this blasphemous statement, if one says this statement that can bear different meanings, intending the blasphemous meaning, this person blasphemes by that. If this person says it intending the meaning which is not blasphemy, this person does not blaspheme. And he does not need to take a shahada for this issue. If one says it, and after saying it, one doubts, what did I mean when I said it? Did I mean the blasphemous meaning or another meaning? In this case, if he doubts, then he takes a precautional shahada. What does that mean? He has to take a shahada immediately, having the intention that if I intended the blasphemous meaning, then I'm going back to Al-Islam with this shahada. This is what they call the precautional shahada. If he knows that he did not intend the blasphemous meaning, he does not have to take this precautional shahada, even if thoughts come to his mind. You know how sometimes thought comes, maybe you meant this. But he knows that he did not mean it. Still these thoughts come. This is what you meant. Maybe you meant the blasphemous meaning. In this case, he does not need, he knows himself that he didn't mean it. So he does not need to take the precautional shahada. And he does not need to do what follows that, like to renew his marriage contract as a precautional act. وهنا تنبيه إلى أمر. Here, let me draw your attention to something. إذا تلفظ الإنسان بكلمة كفرية، بكلمة تحتمل معنى كفريا ومعنى غير كفري، if a person utters a statement that can bear a blasphemous meaning and a meaning which is not blasphemy، فسئل مفتي عن ذلك، then a مفتي was asked about the judgment. هذا المفتي لا يحكم على القائل بالكفر. This mufti does not judge the one who says it, who said it, by being a blasphemer. Isn't it the case? لأن هناك احتمالا أنه أراد المعنى الذي هو غير كفر. Because there is the possibility that he meant the meaning which is not blasphemy. Isn't it the case? So the Mufti would not say this person became a blasphemer. Isn't it? The Mufti would say we keep treating this person as a Muslim. Because we are not sure that he meant the blasphemous meaning. Isn't it the case? But, لكن إذا عرف هو من نفسه أنه أراد المعنى الكفري يكون كفر مهما أفتى المفتي. But if he knew, if the one who said it knew about himself that he meant the blasphemous meaning, then he blasphemed, regardless of what the Mufti says. المفتي يتكلم لأنه لا يعلم حقيقة الحال. يقول ذلك لأنه لا يعلم حقيقة الحال. The Mufti says that because he doesn't know what's in the heart of the person. أما الشخص نفسه يعرف نفسه. As for the person himself or herself, one knows what one intended. فبناء على هذا يكون الحكم. بناء على نيته وقصده يكون حكمه. So based on his intention and what he meant, one would be judged. This might happen. After a while, he might forget. This happens. One time a person asked Sheikh Abdullah about a statement. And Sheikh Abdullah told him that this is blasphemy. So he took a shahada immediately and he started crying severely. Because how did I do that? How did I mention this? He cried for like maybe half an hour. Then he remembered that he did not say it. Another person said it. So yeah, I witnessed that. So that's why I'm telling you. This might happen. أما الصريح أي الذي ليس له إلا معنى واحد يقتضي التكفير وهذا الذي ذكرناه يحكى عن محمد بن الحسن مثال له. This issue that we mentioned, it is narrated from Muhammad, the rule that we mentioned, it is narrated from Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, that he gave an example of that. Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, ta'rifun, huwa min akbar talamiz al-Imam Abi Hanifa. You know, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan is among the most among the greatest students of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. قال لو قيل لواحد ألا تخاف الله فقال لا أخافه. قال إذا أراد ليس لله شأن عندي فهو كافر. وإذا عمل معصية فقال لا أخاف الله لو عمل لا أخاف عذاب الله لو عملت المعصية لا أعذب. إذا قال لا أخاف الله من فعل المعصية فهذا أيضا كافر. أما إذا كان قال ذلك لأنه ما عمل معصية, يقول أنا ما عملت معصية فلا أخاف أن يعاقبني, هذا كان مقصوده من الكلام فلا يكفو. محمد بن الحسن said or was asked about a person who was asked, "Aren't you fearful of Allah?" And he said, "No." He said, if he means, "I don't care," if he's saying that to belittle Allah, then this is blasphemy. If he's saying, "I'm not fearful when I commit a sin, if I commit a sin, I don't fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala," that is as if he's saying there is no punishment for the sins, then this is also blasphemy. He said, if he meant, "I did not commit a sin, so I am not afraid that Allah will punish me for that," he does not blaspheme. هذا بالنسبة لللفظ الذي له عدة معان. This is about, this pertains to the statement that has, that can bear more than one meaning. أما اللفظ الصريح الذي لا يحتمل إلا معنى واحدا فهذا يحكم على قائله بالكفر مهما قال قصدي وقصدي طالما هو يفهم معناه الكفري. What we mentioned pertains to a statement that can bear different meanings. Now, if the statement can bear only, according to the language, only one blasphemous meaning, and one says it, then this person is judged as a blasphemer, regardless of his intention. Whatever he says, my intention is. As long as he knows the meaning of this statement, he knows what it means in the language. كما لو قال شخص أن الله يحكم بكفره مهما ادعى التأويل في هذا. ما قال قصدي كذا قصدي كذا قصدي كذا يحكم بكفره. An example of that is for someone to say, "I am Allah." This person is judged as a blasphemer regardless of what intention he claims that he has. If he says, "I intended that I am the slave of Allah," or "I intended that my existence is a proof for the existence of Allah," or "I intended by the," regardless. هذا لفظ صريح لا يحتمل في اللغة إلا هذا المعنى وهو يعرف ذلك هو من أهل اللسان ليس من أهل لغة أخرى لا يعرف اللسان لا من أهل اللسان يعرف ذلك فيحكم عليه بالكفر. This is an explicit blasphemous statement. If the one who says it knows the language, it's not a strange language for him. He knows the language, he knows what it means, and he says it intentionally, then this person is judged as a blasphemer, regardless of his intention or interpretation. لذلك عندما قال الحلاج هذه اللفظة العلماء كلهم اتفقوا على الحكم عليه بالردة بها. This is why when Al-Hallaj said this statement, all the scholars agreed that he committed blasphemy by that. ولذلك كان سيدنا الإمام الرفاعي يقول لو كان على الحق ما قال أنا الحق. And this is why الإمام الرفاعي used to say, had him been truthful, he wouldn't have claimed that he is Allah. He wouldn't have said, I am Allah. وحتى الذين لم يكفروه ما قالوا هذا اللفظ ليس كفرا إنما قالوا هو كان غائبا لما قاله القلة. Even the few scholars who did not judge him to be a blasphemer said that this statement is a blasphemous statement. But Al-Hallaj, when he said it, he was absent. His mind was absent. So this is why they did not judge him as a blasphemer. فليحذر من أناس أمرهم عجيب إذا تكلم إنسان ينتسب إلى التصوف بكلمة مهما كانت قبيحة يقولون نؤولها تؤول لمجرد أنه ينتسب إلى التصوف. Be aware of certain people whom if they hear someone saying a bad statement, regardless of how bad it is, if this person claims to be a Sufi, then they say, okay, we infer another meaning to this statement and we do not judge him as a blasphemer or a sinful for it. This is very strange. لا يوجد في ديننا شرعان شرع للذي ينتسب للتصوف وشرع للذي لا ينتسب للتصوف. We do not have in our religion two sets of rules. One set of rules for the people who claim to be Sufis and another set for the people who do not claim that. We do not have this in our religion. العلماء في كتبهم قالوا من قال كذا كفر من قال كذا كفر أو من قال كذا لم يكفر. ما قالوا كفر إلا إذا كان صوفيا أو ينتسب إلى التصوف. The scholars who authored in these issues, they said the one who said such and such statement blasphemes, the one who said such and such blasphemes, or the one who said such and such does not blaspheme. They did not say the one who said such and such blasphemes except if he claims to be Sufi. They never said that. So be warned against some people who claim to be following the rules of the religion, and if they hear an explicit blasphemous statement from someone who claims to be a Sufi, or if someone reports to them an explicit blasphemous statement from a Sufi person, they do not say he did not say it. They do not say this is blasphemy. No, they start to try to infer other meanings to this statement, to say that, okay, from him it's okay, he wouldn't be judged as a blasphemer for it. This is wrong. ليس الحق يعرف بالرجال إنما الرجال تعرف بالحق. We do not judge the truth by men. We judge men by the truth. Izzuddin ibn Abd al-Salam قال حتى لو صدر هذا اللفظ من ولي من الأولياء في حال غيبة عقله يعزر يزجر أو حتى يضرب إن احتيج إلى ضربه حتى يكف عنه. عز الدين بن عبد السلام said, if such a statement is said by a wali, but when he was in conscience. Unconscious. Okay. In this case, you prevent him from saying it, even though his mind is absent. Even if you need to scream at him or even hit him. So he stops saying that. This is what Ibn Abd al-Salam said. لأن هذا يؤثر فيه في حال الغيبة. البهيمة يؤثر فيها مثل هذا. Because this affects even if his mind is absent. Just as it affects the animal. When you scream at the animal or do other things, the animal is affected by that. Although he doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have a mind. أما في حال حضور عقله فالولي من الأولياء لا يصدر منه كفر. لا يصدر منه لفظ كفري إلا أن يكون سبق لسان. Now if a person is really a wali and his mind is not absent, he wouldn't say a blasphemous statement. He would not do that. Except if it was a slip of the tongue. Other than that, he wouldn't do it. لأن من صار من أحباء الله لا ينقلب بعد ذلك عدوا له. Because the one who becomes among those who are accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, his situation does not change afterwards, so he becomes an enemy of Allah. لذلك قالوا من بلغ درجة الولاية لا يكفر بعد ذلك. This is why they said the one who becomes a wali, really a wali, afterwards he does not commit blasphemy. قد يعصي, he might commit a sin. وقد يرتكب كبيرة, he might commit an enormous sin. لكن ليس الكفر, but not blasphemy. ثم إذا عصى يتوب بعد ذلك. And if he commits a sin, he repents after that. لا يصر, لا يبقى على المعصية. He doesn't insist on that sin. He repents after that. الجنيد رضي الله عنه قيل له يحصل من الولي كبيرة من الكبائر. قال وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا. يعني إذا كتب عليه أنه يحصل منه كبيرة يحصل. الجنيد among the heads of the Sufis was asked, would a wali commit an enormous sin? He answered with a verse from Al-Quran. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا. Which he meant by that, if Allah willed for him to commit an enormous sin, he does it. لكن كما قلنا يتوب بعد ذلك. But as we said, the wali repents after that. كما حصل مثال ذلك ما حصل مع بعض الصحابة. An example of that, what happened with some of the walis among the companions. الزبير رضي الله عنه خرج إلى المعسكر المضاد لعلي وهذا حرام. الزبير stood with those who wanted to fight الإمام علي, and that was a sin. لكن تاب, but he repented. علي ذكره بحديث قاله النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. علي reminded him about a hadith that they both heard from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال له ما تذكر يوم قال لك النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام تحب عليا فقلت نعم فقال أما إنك لتقاتلنه وأنت ظالم له فقال نسيت في الحال ترك ورجع تائبا. Ali told Az-Zubayr, don't you remember one time we were with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and he asked you, do you love Ali? And you said yes. Then the Prophet told you, one day you are going to fight him while you would be unjust. And you will be unjust on that day. Az-Zubayr said, I now remember, I forgot this. You reminded me. Immediately, he left his place and went back while repenting from what he did. لِأَنَّ الزُّبَيْرُ مِنْ أَكَابِرُ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because he is one among the most, like the greatest wali of Allah. الزُّبَيْر مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الصَّحَابَةِ. أَفْضَلِ صَحَابَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ كُلِّهِمْ. He is among the best of all the companions of all the prophets. أفضل صحابة الأنبياء كلهم عشرة الزبير منهم. The best of the companions of all the prophets are 10. الزبير is one of them. فلم يموت إلا تائبا. So he did not die except after he repented. وكذلك طلحة. Likewise طلحة. سيدنا علي قال له ذكره أيضا بحديث. Our master Ali reminded him of a hadith said by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال له ما تذكر يوم قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه. يعني من كنت أنا أنصره فعلي ينصره. معناه علي يكون مع الحق. طلحة فهم فورا تذكر قال بلى ثم تاب إلى الله تعالى. الإمام علي addressed طلحة by saying, don't you remember when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه, which means the one whom I support علي also supports. That is, Ali supports the truth. Talha said, yes, I remember. You reminded me. You're right. And he repented immediately. أراد أن يترك موضع القتال. So he wanted to leave the battlefield. واحد ممن كان معه اسمه مروان بن الحكم رماه عند ذلك بسهم فقتله. He wanted to leave the battlefield. A person who was on his side, named Marwan ibn al-Hakam, he shot him with an arrow and killed him. رضي الله عنه. أيضا طلحة من هؤلاء العشرة. Also طلحة is one of these 10. لذلك ما مات إلا تائبا. This is why he did not die. Except after he repented. الولي من الأولياء لو عمل المعصية. الولي ليس نبيا معصوما. لكن لو عصى فإنه يتوب بعد ذلك. So a wali is not a prophet which that is who is infallible, Hajj Ali is saying. Rather, he might commit a sin, an enormous sin, but then he repents. He does not insist on it. He repents. فهم هذا الموضوع مهم. Understanding this issue is important. بعض الناس كأنهم يتوهمون أن الأولياء أن الولي من الأولياء لا يعصي. Some people as if they think that a wali does not commit any sin after becoming a wali. الأمر ليس هكذا. This is not the case. وبعض الناس كأنهم يتوهمون أن الصحابي لا يحصل منه ذنب. And some people as if they think that a companion, if someone is a companion, then he does not commit any sin. And this is not correct. هذا الفهم. لماذا نذكر هذا الأمر عن طلحة والزبير وعلي حتى يفهم هذا الأمر جيدا؟ Why are we mentioning this issue about طلحة, الزبير, معاوية and علي? They died long time ago. Why would we mention it? لكن في هذه الأيام يوجد حاجة حتى لا يفهم الناس هذا الأمر على خلاف ما هو فيقعون في محذور كبير في خطر كبير. Because nowadays there is a need to mention this issue. So people wouldn't misunderstand this judgment. And because of that, they might fall into a great danger. Something very dangerous. لأجل الحاجة نذكر هذا. Because there is a need, we mention it. أعطيكم مثالا. Let me give you an example. بعض الناس من سوء فهمهم لهذا الأمر وصل إلى أنه قال علي كان يجب عليه مقاتلة معاوية ومعاوية كان يجب عليه مقاتلة علي. جعل الخروج على الخليفة العادل واجبا وهذا ضد الدين. Let me give you an example. I know it. يعني أنا أعرف هذا. ليس أن يعني أحدا أخبرني عن فلان. لا أنا أعرف. Let me give you an example of what I meant. A person said, Ali, it was an obligation upon Ali to fight Muawiyah because Ali was the caliph and Muawiyah revolted against him. Then he continued to say, and it was an obligation upon Muawiyah to fight Ali. So he claimed that revolting against the righteous caliph is a must, is an obligation. This is against the religion. This is belying the religion. This is very dangerous. Why this person said that? Before it, he mentioned, He mentioned an introduction that led him to this point. وذكر مقدمة قادته إلى هذا. هذه المقدمة أن الصحابة الذي جرى بينهم نحن ما نتصور أن يكون أحد منهم قد عصى في هذا. إذن الطرفان كانا على حق. هكذا قال. والطرفان كانا مجتهدين. والمجتهد عليه أن يعمل بما يؤديه إليه اجتهاده. كلاهما اجتهدا بحق والمجتهد عليه أن يعمل بما يؤديه إليه اجتهاده. إذن علي كان عليه أن يقاتل معاوية. معاوية كان عليه أن يقاتل علي. وهيك. هو الشيطان يزين للشخص أموراً من الشر. he mentioned an introduction by which this person got to this statement. He said, we do not conceive that the companions, because Muawiyah was a companion also, so we do not conceive that any of them would be wrong committing a sin in the fight that occurred between them. So we say that Ali was a mujtahid and Muawiyah was a mujtahid, and both were right, because we do not conceive that one of them was sinful. So both they were right. And the mujtahid has to act according to his ijtihad. So Ali had to fight Muawiyah. It was an obligation upon him to fight Muawiyah. And Muawiyah, it was an obligation on him to fight Ali. This is how he went. Why did he do that? لماذا وقع في هذا؟ لأنه ما فهم أصل المسألة. أصل الحكم. Why did he fall in that? Because he did not understand the basic rule. وهذا الحكم هو أن العصمة للملائكة والأنبياء وليست لباقي البشر. This rule is infallibility is for angels and it is for the prophets and not for the rest of the human beings. بعض الناس لو كانوا يعرفون هذا لكن كأنهم لا يعرفون. Some people, even if they know this, but as if they don't know. لذلك أما العلماء الذين عرفوا الأمر على وجهه الأئمة الذين عرفوا الأمر على وجهه فكلامهم مختلف عن هذا. As for the imams who knew how the issue was really and what are the rules really, they mentioned different things. Things different than that. الإمام أبو حنيفة قال أحكام قتال البغاة تؤخذ من قتال علي لمن حاربه. الإمام أبو حنيفة said the rules how would the people who revolt unjustly against the caliph, how would they be treated is taken from what Ali did at his time. الإمام الشافعي قال علي كان على حق وكل من قاتله كان على باطل باغيا. الإمام الشافعي said علي was truthful and everyone who fought against him was unjust. لأن النبي قال ذلك. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that. مرة واحد قال للإمام أحمد بن حنبل كأن الشافعية فيه شيء من التشيع. Once a man addressed الإمام أحمد بن حنبل by saying as if الشافعي has a little bit of the creed of the Shia. أحمد قال له لما تقول هذا؟ Imam Ahmad asked him, why are you saying this? قال وجدته بأمر البغاة عند الكلام عن البغاة كل احتجاجه بما فعله علي. He said when he talked about how to act with those who revolt against the righteous caliph, all what he mentioned was relying, all the proofs that he mentioned ويعني we've taken from what Al-Imam Ali did and said. قال له أحمد فبمن كنت تريده أن يحتج ولم يبتلى أحد من الأمة قبل علي بمحاربة أهل البغي. الإمام أحمد told him, and who did you want him to take as an example? And no one in this nation before Ali was tested by fighting the unjust people who revolt against the Caliph. لذلك قال الإمام أبو الحسن الأشعري رضي الله عنه الذين وقفوا في وجه علي كلهم مخطئون. This is why الإمام أبو الحسن الأشعري said those who stood against Ali, all of them committed a mistake. مخطئون. والأشعري كان يستعمل لفظ الخطأ للمعصية. And Al-Ash'ari used to use the term khata', which means a mistake, for committing a sin. So he meant all of them were sinful. قال لكن بعضهم وقع ذنبه مغفورا لأجل البشارة كعائشة وطلحة والزبير. He continued to say, but some of them, their sins were forgiven because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gave them the good news that they are among the people of paradise, that I am not going to be tortured. Like Aisha, Talha and Az-Zubayr. أكمل فقال وأما غيرهم فلا نجزم بأنه يغفر. يجوز غفرانه مجوز وعدم غفرانه مجوز. يجوز أن يغفر الله لهم ويجوز أن لا يغفر الله لهم. As for other than these three, other than those who got the good news of entering paradise from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who fought against Ali, we do not say that their sins are forgiven. Their sins might be forgiven and might not be forgiven. كما يقول أهل السنة, as أهل السنة say, الله يغفر ما شاء لمن يشاء. Allah forgives whatever He wills for whatever, whomever He wills. عرفتم يعني لماذا ذكر المصنف رحمة الله عليه هذا الأمر في كتابه؟ لما رأى وسمع من الخلل بين كثير من الناس في فهم هذا الأمر. So you know why the author, may Allah have mercy on him, mentioned this issue in his book? Because he saw many people misunderstanding this issue. This is why he mentioned it. بعضهم يقول هؤلاء مأجورون وهؤلاء مأجورون. كيف الخروج على الخليفة يكون فيه أجر؟ النبي قال يدعوهم إلى الجنة ويدعونه إلى النار. الدعاء إلى النار فيه أجر. كيف هذا؟ Some people say both sides they are rewarded. How's that? The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said about those who fought against Ali that they are callers to hellfire. The one who calls to hellfire is rewarded. How's that? Is rewarded for that? Doesn't make sense. This is not correct. السيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها من كثرة ما ندمت على خروجها ذلك بعد ذلك كانت تبكي حتى تبل بعض ثيابها من كثرة الدموع. Sayyidah Aisha, because she repented a lot, she was very she was very regretful for what she did, to a point that she cried many times until parts of her clothes would be wet because of her tears. بل من كثرة بكائها أثر الدمع في خدها صار مجرى للدمع. Not just that, because she cried a lot because of what, out of repentance, her cheeks, she had lines in her cheeks because of the tears, of her tears. ثم يأتي واحد يقول مأجورون لهم ثواب أو يقول واجب. الإنسان يندم على الثواب والواجب, ما هذا؟ Then someone comes after 1400 years to say what Aisha did or what Muawiyah did was an obligation upon them to fight Ali. Would anyone repent from doing the obligation? How's that? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وهذا الذي ذكرناه عن الإمام أبي الحسن الأشعري ذكره تلميذ تلميذه ابن فورك في كتابه مجرد مقالات الأشعري, جمع كلامه من كتبه المختلفة في كتاب واحد. ماذا قال في هذه المسألة؟ جمعه من كتبه المختلفة في باب. ماذا قال في هذه المسألة؟ جمعه من كتبه المختلفة في باب, وهكذا. وسمى كتابه مجرد مقالات الأشعري. في هذا الكتاب نقل عنه هذا الكلام. This statement of Al-Imam Al-Ash'ari is reported from him by the student of his student called Ibn Furak. He gathered what Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan Al-Ash'ari said about each case from all the different books of Al-Ash'ari in one chapter, then about another case in a second chapter, and so on. And he called his book Mujarrad Maqalat Al-Ash'ari. In this book, he reported from Al-Ash'ari that saying. وبما أننا تكلمنا في هذا الموضوع يحسن أن نبين أمرا بعد. Because we talked about this issue, let us clarify one more matter pertaining this ruling. بعض الناس يقول كلمة خبيثة. Some people say a very ugly statement. وينسبونها لعبد الله بن المبارك. And they claim that عبد الله بن المبارك, this great imam, said it. وهذا كذب عليه. And this is not correct. This is a lie. He did not say it. يقولون قال ابن المبارك, سئل ابن المبارك عن عمر بن عبد العزيز ومعاوية أيهما أفضل, فقال غبار فرس معاوية أفضل من ملء الأرض من عمر بن عبد العزيز. هذا تكذيب للدين. They claim that عبد الله بن المبارك was asked about عمر بن عبد العزيز, the righteous caliph, and Muawiyah, who's better? So he answered, the dust that came from the hooves, the dust that came from the hooves of Muawiyah's horse is better than what fills the earth of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. يعني a number of people like Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz that fills the whole earth. This is a lie. This is a statement that belies the religion. كيف يعني الله تعالى قال, النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال المؤمن حرمة المؤمن, المؤمن العادي أي مؤمن, حرمة المؤمن عند الله أعظم من حرمة الكعبة. ثم هذا يقول الغبار أفضل من عمر بن عبد العزيز, ذاك الخليفة الراشد العالم العامل، كيف هذا؟ The Prophet said that the believer has a status more than Al-Kaaba, higher than Al-Kaaba, any believer. So how would one say that the dust is better than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that righteous caliph, that great scholar, that pious person, that applied the rules of the religion properly? How's that? How does anyone dare to say that? Allah قال إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. إذا كان عمر بن عبد العزيز الذي من التابعين الغبار يقال أفضل منه، كيف هذا؟ Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best among you are those who are the most pious. So what would be the status of Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, who is the student of the companions? A great scholar and a righteous caliph. And a very pious person. If about such a person someone would say the dust is better than him, then what would be the status of other pious people? Allah yarhamuna. Al-ghuluw qabih. Al-ghuluw qabih. Wal-i'tidalu jameel. Going beyond the proper, exaggerating and going beyond the proper boundaries is an ugly thing. Adhering to the truth is the proper way. Allah yaj'aluna min allazina yatamassakuna bilhaq. Let us stop here. Naqifu huna. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Iza kan ahad lahu su'al falyatafaddal. If you have any questions, please go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. هم العشرة المبشرون بالجنة. نعم. إيه؟ لا بأس، ما في مشكلة، لأنك قيدت ما أطلقت. لو أطلقت العصمة في الاصطلاح لها معنى آخر.
Assalamu alaikum. I haven't left. And you know Sheikh Samir hasn't left yet. Please.
Ah, na'am. في اللحظة التي تكلم فيها، في اللحظة، ماذا كان يظن المعنى؟ يحكم بحسب ذلك. Someone might know the meaning of a statement that it is a blasphemous meaning, but at one point of time he forgets that. Maybe he is talking in the slang language and he forgets that this is what it means. So he says it, and when he says it, all what he has in mind, all what he thinks at that moment, that it has another meaning, which is not a blasphemous meaning. In this case, he is not judged as a blasphemer. So he is judged according to what he understands from this word, what he thinks this word means, when he's uttering it, at the time of uttering it. Yeah, go ahead, brother. It depends on what you mean by that. If you mean that he was a knowledgeable person and he attained the level of ijtihad as far as the talking about the knowledge, yeah, he did. He did. He was a knowledgeable person. But if you mean that, if someone means that he was entitled to do ijtihad in that matter and fight against Ali, no. Because we do not do ijtihad when there is a text clarifying the rule. And this was the case. But if you mean that did Muawiyah have knowledge, he did. Did he reach the level of ijtihad in his knowledge? In his knowledge. I'm not talking about the other criteria. He did. One time he mentioned something, and a person came to Ibn Abbas and told him, Muawiyah such and such. Ibn Abbas said, إِنَّهُ لَفَقِيه. He is a faqih. And faqih at that time meant mujtahid. But as far as the knowledge, yes. Yes. Mujtahid. Mujtahid mutlaq. من حيث العلم, من حيث العلم, مقدار العلم. المجتهد, لا تأخذ, أنت لا تأخذ إلا من إنسان عالم ثقة. صحيح. فإذا كان عالما لكن ليس ثقة, أنت لا تستفتيه. لكن هو بلغ تلك الدرجة, بلغ. لكن أنت لا تستفتيه. بعضهم قال لا يشترط, لا يشترط. بعضهم قال لا يشترط. فرق بين الشرط في المجتهد الذي يؤخذ بقوله والمجتهد الذي هو في نفسه مجتهد. Even if one. الله يحفظنا. تفضل صلاح الدين. طلحة. لا شك. لا شك. أعوذ بالله. كيف؟ بأي حق قتله؟ أعوذ بالله. بأي حق قتله؟ تفضل. الصوت يتشابه, الأصوات تتشابه. أنت قل إذا كان فلان الذي قالها يكون كفر. نعم تفضل. بلى. لا شك, لا شك, كما تقول لا شك. بعض الناس يضل عن علم وبعض الناس يظلم عن علم. If one does not believe that he repented before he died, then one does not say it. If one says, yeah, of course. Either whether he intended, he believed the meaning, or he did not believe in the meaning, it's kufr. No. When one says that, this means you are not. No. Yeah, no. There is a difference between the two. Tfaddal. Uh, لأنه فكر حاله كفر، هذا اللي كان مطلوب منه يعمله، فكر حاله كفر بده يتشهد، بعدين تذكر أنه ما كفر خلاص مشي حاله. لا لا يحتاج، لا من أيش يتشهد؟ من أيش؟ إذا واحد تذكر شو اللي حصل منه كفر بدأ ترجع يتشهد منه. أنه يعتقد الجسمية؟ لا 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 لا، الإنسان يتكلم كثيرا وهو يتكلم يرفع إصبعه ولا يريد الجهة. لا وفيك، لا بارك الله فيكم. طيب نهلل. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Some people, they thought that Muawiyah repented before he died. This is why they would say about رضي الله عنه when they mention his name. I'm sure that they didn't remember that before he died he arranged for his son to become the ruler after him. His son was a wine drinker and he was a sinful person, so he left out all the pious companions and the followers of the companions who were at the era, and he arranged it for his son who killed later Al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu. This is not how someone who repented would act. I'm sure it didn't occur to their minds. This issue did not occur to their minds. Otherwise, they wouldn't think that he repented. But some scholars, they thought, they believe that he repented, and this is why they would say radiyallahu anhu, because of that. بارك الله فيك.
العصر at 5:30, المغرب at 9. Please, if you see things on the floor, you can pick them up.